This is CliffCentral.com.
Peace and love, peace and love.
Yes, peace and love, peace and love. Good morning, everybody. What's happening? It's a Wednesday morning.
Oh, good for you.
Yes. And for you. I had a little adventure in my way in this morning. You want to hear about it?
A different route?
No, nothing that out of the normal. What it was my my petrol gauge says that I've got like 5 kilometers of petrol left.
Oh no!
And I was stressing. Look, I don't know how far that could get me. It could get me just to the nearest petrol station. So
probably,
I was
probably going to go with getting you 5Ks.
You'd think so, right? But you never know, because they make these cars so accurate that they know exactly how much is in there, and it's completely run out on the gauge, but it says distance to empty is 5Ks. So I was like freewheeling down the highway rather than using fuel. And I just thought, oh my God, should I fit in going to the petrol station before I get to the studio just in case I run out? Or should I just come straight here and worry about that afterwards?
Well, it's the 21st of the month, so basically you describe how most people get to work right now.
This is so true, Ben. This is so true. But
how serious is that light?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, how seriously must you take it?
Did you ignore your reserve tank light when it popped on?
Yeah.
Oh, you see now.
Yeah.
This is self-inflicted pain.
It came on, yesterday? Maybe the day before.
Oh, I know. This is how you treat your car badly.
Well, is it? I mean,
yeah, running on fumes. It's not like you're trying to make your car lose weight, Gareth. It's not like your own body here, where you skip a couple of meals to shed a couple of pounds. Car's
a
car.
How do you read this? Will I make it to the petrol station on the 5Ks that it says I've got left on the clock?
No, you're screwed. Your car's going to basically just break down and
splutter and choke to a grinding halt.
Yeah, and you're going to have to. No, you're screwed.
It's done.
You might as well just leave it here.
I'm finished.
Get a bike. Pedal home.
You see? Yeah. Okay. Hang on.
My buddy's doing some research.
She's trying to calculate the distance between the studio and the closest garage from
see?
Here.
See? Bit of research. She's smart that way. She's applying science.
It's about 800 meters.
Okay, well, so you're on what? 5Ks?
I wheeled in here, man. You should have seen. I was so nervous coming down that highway, because you can go down. There's quite a long downhill before the off-ramp. And I was coming down there going, just make it to 10Ks before the off-ramp is over. Then I'll be able to get there. And I was also watching the clock going, if I fill up at the petrol station, then I'm going to be late to start the show. So I was compromised. I was just trying to find the right way to do this morning. Very exciting. Hell of a way to start the day. Big adrenaline rush.
Look, if you don't make it to the garage, it would be interesting to try and see people pushing your car, your tank.
I'll walk to the garage and get a canister of petrol. I mean, can you still do that?
No, because then you look like you're buying a petrol bomb.
Oh, hell yeah. That people went there. Will they sell you petrol?
Yes.
In a can?
Yes.
Okay. It's only Ben who they won't sell petrol
to.
No,
you've just got to have good negotiation skills. You know, you get there, you like...
That's hardly what you want to be doing as an adult,
you
Gareth.
You start chatting to the petrol attendant and you're like, listen, man, listen.
It's humiliating.
Help a brother out.
It's a walk
out.
Of shame on a whole other level. You having to go buy a liter of 95.
I've often wondered why there are these cars that are stopped. You know, that just stop on the side of the road.
Yeah.
You often think, what's going on here? Now I know.
Well,
they ran out of petrol. Their reserve tank lied to them. Or they just ignored the light.
They just ignored it.
Gareth, good on you to admit this absolute stupidity, because this really is so embarrassing. This is a low functioning topic. It really is. I mean, what next? You don't use knives and forks. You're not wearing any pants.
Go
right
retrograde,
now.
No pants. Eventually you're just
toilet
gnawing
papers
on
of amusement
rocks.
To you.
Yeah. I'm so embarrassed. But sometimes you gotta admit this stuff.
Yeah, it happened to my brother straight after Was it school or varsity? I can't remember. Anyway, the point of the story is...
Did he run out?
Yes, he ran out. And he was the guy who would laugh and say, ah, guys, calm down. When that reserve tank comes on, you still got like about 50, between 50 and 80 Ks, give or take. And then the one night he ran out and the insurance company phoned my mother.
Oh, shit.
Because like that was the only way that he could have the situation sorted out.
So. Like, okay, this is the thought process here when we get this low is that we think, I haven't got 10 minutes right now. But when your car actually just stops working, it's then 2 hours of your life. So you got to wait it up.
And can it damage your car?
Yes.
It does, right?
Yes.
It does it some damage when you run out of fuel.
Look, put it this way. If you go through your owner's handbook, doesn't it suggest you do this every now and again for shits and giggles?
All right. So I know where the nearest fuel station is. So that's where I'll go straight after this. Make sure that I get something in there. Can't we just have beaming already? Can't we just do what they have in Star Trek? You know, I was thinking about this with the international travel that I did earlier this month. Wouldn't it be great to just hop in a capsule and it just... completely reconfigures you on the other side, makes an exact copy.
No, because if a server's down, suddenly you get there with no legs.
Oh shit!
You know,
you're right.
And then you buffer for like a week.
Wow, you are strange.
Jeez, man. Buffer for a week. What, the guy wants to be teleported? I actually don't mind the fact that aviation's a modern marvel.
What, you want to miss out on the opportunity to watch passengers being thrown out of airplanes in Benland, Gareth?
Yeah. I want to punch a guy farting, yeah.
No, I've got to ask you, if they did work it out, if they found a way for us to be able to press a button and be immediately teleported somewhere, I would love that. I mean, obviously, they've got to work out all the glitches. But Ben, before, people who thought like you thought went, oh, I'm not getting in an aluminium can in the sky. What if it crashes?
Why did I think that?
Well, because you just said, oh no, I won't do teleporting. You're going to buffer on the other side and you'll come out without a leg. That's precisely the kind of thinking that creates zero progress.
It's not.
Some people will have to die, Ben. And you're the one who's complaining yesterday about air travel. So let's not. And let me tell you something.
I was reporting on a story. I like air travel.
You do?
It's international.
You like getting into a plane,
not domestic,
with 200 or 300 other people and having them fart and sweat and stink next to you and make a noise and children. You love that?
Well, it's the part about going away, Gareth. I guess you're excited. You get to watch movies.
I would love to.
I'm a very tactile human being, unlike you.
Bring on teleportation. Be superb. That's what we want.
And holidays with no legs, yeah?
No holidays and no legs. Stop it. You are the universe's most cynical creature. When they put together the comparative tables and they said, all right, how much cynicism should we add to this one? Someone said, just pour out whatever's left in the bottle, and it was a lot. Mm. It all end up in a big pile on Ben's plate.
I don't know. I tend to agree with Ben here. I mean, you began saying that obviously there are going to be people who have to die first.
Yeah.
Can those people go first and then only like after 5 years, I will then hop on?
Yes, you don't have to be there.
Hop on one of these capsules.
I'm sure there'll be so many people who want to just go first.
I won't be rushing to be there.
You don't have to do
the hashtag go first team.
You don't have to do the alpha or the beta testing.
Yeah, they must iron out the kinks.
The Wright brothers put that paper on those wooden planes they were messing around with in 1911-12. And then it was a while before people started to say, all right, well, I'll trust that guy at the sticks to fly me in. Mm-mm. Progress, it takes a little bit of risk and sometimes some courage.
Sure, but we're talking very different things here. We're talking about people who you can see going up or you can still see them. You're talking about interdimensional time travel.
Oh, Ben, it's not so odd. It's not so odd. I mean, when you're talking to someone on the phone, to someone in the 1800s, that was like magic and it was a marvel and nobody would have understood it.
Look, Gareth, I'm all
for... The fact that you can Google things...
Look, I'm all for progress. I'm all for you getting teleported to a beach holiday, but you got no legs on the beach and taking a selfie. And I'll laugh. And I'll laugh. And we'll all laugh.
Yeah,
we'll look back to this moment.
Wow. Hey, Gord Laws is here.
Hello.
Hello, Gordon. How are you?
All right. Trying to get the headphones working.
See,
I'm like...
See, Gordon tried to set up port here earlier, 13 minutes late.
Yeah. Well, it depends what you define as late, Ben.
Gordon, 13 minutes after 6, look, which is when the show starts.
He's only got one arm.
I consider myself as 2 hours and 43 minutes here.
That's right.
Gordon, whatever you consider yourself, talking to the bloody mic.
Well, I'm trying to because I haven't got my headphones, you see, Ben. I'm in a mad tiz over here trying to get myself plugged in.
No, don't you see that there's an element of, like, you have to have a little bit of faith in... The Gareth, possibility.
I have faith in human beings every time I leave my house in the morning.
No, you don't.
I do.
No, you don't.
Of course I do.
No, you know better than that.
I have a little bit of faith. I do.
You don't. I don't believe it for a second. You don't leave home with your faith cup full and get to the studio and then it's suddenly empty every morning. You start at 6 a.m. and you have your faith cup pretty much empty.
Yeah.
You do not like humans.
Positive occurrences push you from a negative into like either zero or a slight positive.
Whether it's circumstantial.
Gareth, I ride a motorbike. I have faith in humans a little bit.
Well, yeah, faith in yourself, certainly.
Well, there is my point.
Confidence in
myself. So you have the ability to ride your motorbike here and not die, and the motorbike usually results in death.
Touch wood so far, yeah.
But, and nobody, no one wants...
Your pants scored.
No one wants that to happen. But you don't have faith that someday in the future they will develop some terrific technology that allows you to instantly be in a place that isn't the place that you were in 5 seconds ago.
Yeah, that would be so cool.
Well, it would be,
yeah,
right?
But you're doing things with matter that is very fundamentally different to anything else that we've done or seen or transported ourselves as.
But this is my point, is compare it to the
Gareth,
the...
I get your point, but it's one giant leap for mankind is what you're saying here.
Yeah, and so is every giant leap for mankind.
And we've done things in the last 10 years that seemed impossible to our ancestors for thousands of years. No, hold on. This idea of matter being played with, there used to be these people called alchemists.
I play
remember
with
that?
Matter all the time.
Remember alchemists?
Yes.
They were these nutcases in, well, they called them nutcases, in the 14, 15, 1600s. They would try to make gold out of lead, and they would try to take other metals and turn them into gold. Mm. And of course they never got it right, because gold is a different element to all the other metals. But now, there are ways to turn gold, to make gold out of other elements. You can actually bombard in a radioactive manner, you can bombard the nucleus of another element and turn it into gold.
What's the other element?
It could be lead, it could be mercury, it could be any of the other heavy metals. It could even be platinum.
Pantera.
Turning platinum into gold sounds like a really bad business decision.
You could turn osmium into gold or platinum if you bombard it long enough. Now, that was impossible before. That's actually changing the nature of what we always thought were the building blocks of the universe.
Yeah, look, Gareth,
elements.
I do get your point, but you're not seeing mine. It's a stretch. If you were to bombard a metal that doesn't mind being melted to crap in order to make a better metal, you're in a certain zone. You're going to liquefy human, essentially, because who knows how to get it there. You know I like progress, and I'm with you on these kind of things, and I think it'd be great, but it's just such a gigantic leap, and that doesn't make me cynical. That makes me someone who can breathe and talk and hear.
Do you get backed up to the cloud first? Like, for example,
yeah, of course.
When they dematerialize you, do they, like, save your plan on this side?
George just proved it. You got to back yourself up to the cloud.
Yeah.
only when you arrive safely on that side, they, like, clear your RAM and let the backup version.
And they know it's
so
cool.
Temporarily, there's two of you.
Gordon, before you got to him, what I was saying is one server drops and suddenly you have no left leg.
Yeah, well, I was laughing because when I was frantically trying to get my headphones on, and Gareth was saying, like, you're the most cynical person in the world. I was thinking, like, how could you test that? And I'm like, if we got the other competitor for most cynical person in the world,
we definitely
Gareth
try.
Would say, Ben, you're the most cynical person in the world. And the other guy would go, no, he's not. And then if you said, fuck, yes, I am, then you would be less cynical because you agreed with something. So you would lose. You would lose that battle.
Oh, that's a good way of putting it.
Yeah.
Mubs and I want to travel like that. We just don't want to do it now.
Just don't want to be first.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying. And actually, that's what Ben was saying too. He doesn't want to be the first one who's definitely going to end up on the other side with no leg.
As I understand it, he will rather carry on in planes, even when we've all started teleporting.
We will all carry on in planes until such a day that we cannot. Like, we don't have a say in that.
Yeah, but guys, also, I mean... So cynical. I just like travel because it's something you don't do every day. There's also that.
The travel part of it, you seem to be interested in. I'm not.
Depends on the means of travel.
There's no... You could get first class travel anywhere. It's still like hours and hours and hours of being stuck in one place with the same group of
people.
You're
going to turn down first class travel?
No.
The things that come out of your mouth sometimes.
Hang on.
As opposed to beaming, as opposed to warp technology.
As opposed to beaming. I'm not saying that right now, if you gave me a first class ticket rather than economy, I wouldn't take it. That would be ridiculous. What I am saying is that if they developed beaming technology and I could go, I could beam to the studio every morning as a matter of course, like you would get into your car now. If I could do that, press a button after I'm dressed and ready and pitch up in the studio at exactly 5 minutes to 6 every morning by pressing that button and just getting here instead of sitting behind other people, there's an accident on the highway, there's this that goes on, I run out of fuel, whatever it might be, of course I would.
Don't know why, but I've got a feeling that if beaming technology is being worked on, it's probably the Scots that are at the forefront of it.
Yes, I don't know what that is. There's some kind of clue in Star Trek to that. But I do not like the idea of, like, transport is always a waste of time. Always.
Yeah, it's nice though if you, like, for example, going, despite the fact that I ended up planning it wrong and paying the most you can possibly pay due to bad planning. Taking like the train from Barcelona to Madrid, which was about 3 hours of train, it was really nice. I mean, the seats were quite comfy, not like airplane seats, and looking out the window and seeing the countryside was nice, and there's bloody snow on everything in this one little patch.
Bloody snow.
No, regular peacetime snow. But it was quite cool. Like, it was a comfortable... I was glad to have done that. I wouldn't have liked to have beamed that trip.
I'm not talking about a road trip to see the countryside or a train trip to see the countryside. I'm saying appointments.
Yeah.
And for example, if I could have beamed to this place I had the holiday and beamed back, I would have saved myself a whole day, a whole 24 hours.
Also, it would make extreme travel easier because if you were like, right, I'm going to go and walk at night in the lion areas and, like, you know, as soon as you felt something vaguely scary, you could just beam out and you're gone. Yeah, that would be cool as well.
Ben does not like this.
No, go for it. But I think there's a lot of time when the art of travel is lost on people because they just always think, oh, it's time. Mm. But you can enjoy so much, you can appreciate so much, like young Gordon in Spain. Obviously, sitting on the William Nickel for 3 hours isn't what you want to do in your car, but that's a different argument. You were talking about international travel, that kind of stuff.
Interplanetary beaming. Can you beam faster than the speed of light? No, you would have to beam at the speed of light, right? Yeah.
So it would
still take you years to beam to another planet or even decades or centuries. That's what we got to figure out.
No, speed of light to Mars is not too
slow. No, it's like it's 9 minutes.
Yeah, so that's okay. I mean, now we're talking about 9 minutes. It was impossible. Here's the thing.
How big is your Dropbox account, though?
You'd have to have a very big Dropbox account, and you'd have to back it up and make sure you paid.
I would take up more space.
Because if you didn't pay, you'd only get half yourself back.
I would need more terabytes of storage space.
You'd probably
have
more terabytes, yeah.
I'd need like an extra large Dropbox for myself.
But again, I love to look back at where we were and where we are in order to project where we could be, right? So here's the deal. If you were to travel to or from Europe, for example, like you did and like I did earlier this year, you'd have to get on a ship. This is 100 years ago.
Yeah. No, that's how my mom came here from Scotland when she was a baby. It was like a month or two of Scotland.
No, we've got to leave Glasgow and go to South Africa. I don't know much about South
She's
Africa.
She's a wee baby now, but she'll be a grown woman by the time we get there.
Now you shut up, Morag, and get used to your cabin on this wee stupid steamer. Anyway, the point is,
What's a miracle of technology, this 3 minutes? It used to take forever, but only 3 months.
What if we don't make it there and we get lost somewhere along the way? Don't we have a backup?
We've got a flag. We can discover a new place.
So here's what happens. Yeah. 100 years ago, you get on a ship and it takes you like 3 months to get to where you're going on holiday in Europe. 3 months. That's outrageous. Nobody gets 3 months of holiday, let alone travel time to your holiday anymore. People would laugh you out of the room if you said, I need 3 months to get to where I'm going.
Yeah.
Now we're talking 9 minutes to Mars. Mm. So let's just imagine, because now it takes you 12 hours in a plane to Europe. And there might be other things. There absolutely will be things in between my beaming fantasy and what we've got at the moment, which is a tin can in the sky that uses the same fuel that your car uses, it's just a different derivative of it.
Yeah.
Naphthalene and kerosene.
And lag of it.
And lots to power jet engines to push you through
the air,
the atmosphere. Yeah. Okay. Now, in between this tin can, and they've improved tin cans since the Wright brothers too, because they used paper and wood.
Wood cans.
Eventually, somewhere in between, we're going to reach a point where it takes you 6 hours to get to Europe. Then we're going to get to 3 hours. Then we're going to get to 2 hours. And some people are going to get, oh, no, that sounds really dangerous, 2 hours. I preferred the 12-hour option. And there'll still be some people who want to do the 12-hour option.
I'm hesitant to bring it up because it will trigger Ben. But one of the things that there's a cool SpaceX video about is their plan, like as an interim plan before they do like you know commercial travel to Mars or whatever. There's literally this plan with the reusable rockets to take people anywhere in the world. The longest distance will be 50 minutes. And the average travel time to go from continent to continent will be 30 minutes.
What, do you just go up?
You bang one of their big ass, the next... the even bigger, big-ass rocket than the Falcon Heavy. They bang them up, and then they go into sort of suborbital height, and then they come back down, and they land. And this is something that he like legitimately wants to do. But I'm like, I'm not going to be the first dude rocket shooting into space and landing again on a different...
You use criminals. That's what they're there for.
To what test potentially awesome.
Yeah. It's like guys, start with pedophiles, rapists, murderers.
That guy you spoke about yesterday, what the child footballer pedophile?
Yeah, start with him.
That'll be the first guy to get beamed between here and Afghanistan.
And suddenly it seems like fun, doesn't
it? So once you've had 1,000 successful pedo flights, you can start putting regular people and start charging them for the...
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it would have been really scary.
It's awkward when it works out that only impure thoughts help you teleport.
It would have been really scary to be one of the first people to decide, okay, I'm not only going to travel in one of these newfangled aeroplane jewels, I'm also going to go to another... I'm going to stay in the air for like 10 hours. I'm not just going to fly like 10Ks and test the theory. I'm going to go over the ocean and pay them for it.
All I'm saying is don't immediately think that, I mean, because Ben, I suppose a ship voyage is still a romantic way for people to spend 3 months of their lives. And for a lot of people, that would be an interesting way to get to Europe.
Or to vomit endlessly until they let you off.
Forever, for 3 months.
Best holiday, I lost 5 kilograms.
Yeah. 5 kilograms. If it's daily vomiting, you'll lose everything. You'll have to back yourself up there as well.
Best holiday, I lost my stomach lining.
So, all right. My buddy mentioned criminals, and Ben brought up criminals and said we should use them, and then Mub said, yeah, the worst ones, the murderers and rapists. I don't know if you saw this video, but in some place, I don't even know where this is, they caught a guy who was a rapist, and they put two sticks in the ground, and they put a stick across the top of them, almost like goals.
Yeah.
And then they tie his balls to the middle stick and hang him just by his balls. Mm. They tie his feet up and his hands up so he can't... like take
so
the pressure.
He's facing up.
Yeah, he's sitting, and I'll play you the sounds of him in agony. And wherever this place is, it's a punishment for rape in this place. I don't know. It's somewhere.
So he's over it.
Yeah. He's.
It's between his legs. He's standing.
He has his arms over the top of it.
Okay.
All right. So there's a little bit of, and then he's got a rock hanging from his balls.
Okay.
A big heavy rock that's pulling his balls down, and he's suspended.
Okay.
So all the pressure is on his balls, and he can't relieve that pressure at all. So this is what happens to a rapist in whatever place this is that this guy unfortunately finds himself after behaving like a douchebag and raping some woman. So here's the sound of him. I just thought it was, and it's a video that just was sent to me on WhatsApp, and you never know whether these things are true or not. You never know whether anybody's for real, but here it is. So he's in some pain.
Dude, that's a proper rock.
Yeah, it's a big rock hanging from his balls. And then another man comes along after a while because he doesn't think he's in enough pain, and he pushes down the rock a little bit more. And that wee is this guy going like, oh my god, this is so sore.
It's difficult to describe how he's actually configured on that. It's very disturbing, actually, guys.
I know, but I thought it was
a bit of torture for your Wednesday morning.
Well, we talk about what we would do with rapists, and we often talk about how we should, you know, Mubs always says we should cut their balls off and all the rest of it. But there's an actual thing that's happened in some place, somewhere here on this continent, and That's what they do to rapists.
Yeah, that rock was about the size of a soccer ball, possibly bigger. It wasn't a large stone. It was a small boulder.
Yeah. And then that pressure must be insane. I mean, that must be so painful. But then you think about what he could
Eventually
have done.
Eventually, it's going to crush the balls and slip off.
Probably.
That's the worst moment of the duel.
I'm sure that would be pretty awful. But then you think about what he did. You weigh it up.
Yeah, I mean, as long as they've got absolute certainty it was him,
you know,
and he really did it, then sure. Ball hang someone all day.
Well, the likelihood that it was him is higher than not, so we're fine.
Well, that's a good reason to ball hang everyone who's under suspicion.
Why bother with the courts? And
Why bother, really? The courts, let victims down every day, so really, why bother with
them? So just ball hang anyone.
Yeah, sure.
So you could just say, okay, all three of us need to be ball hanged, and there wouldn't even be a trial. They'd just ball hang us all.
Who gives a shit, honestly?
We do.
Yeah, a guy with balls.
We do.
Yeah.
I don't even be ball hung like
it
that
would be,
guy.
It would be ball hanged because, you know, yes, like, as opposed, true. Yeah, it would work like the same as getting...
Yeah, we didn't say hung.
Yeah, unless you're hanged. A painting. Yeah, sure.
But what a horrible thing to do. Anyway. So, Gordon, we got to get to news,
nice.
And then we'll talk about some of the things that are going on this week. And I think a lot of people in South Africa are cautiously hopeful,
mm-hmm.
but there's some interesting voices, and I want to play a clip from Mosiwa Lekota later on. I also want to talk about curling, because Ben...
Who doesn't?
Ben has made this a very sexy topic. People are just very enthusiastic about curling.
Yeah.
I think it's Ben's fault, certainly because South Africa, we don't have a history of curling. In South Africa.
No,
it's
but I mean, it's time. If the time was ever ripe, the time is ripe now. We do have ice rinks. What's our excuse?
Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
Trust me, we don't need a skate around those ice rinks anymore. We need to chop them up into curling tracks and let's get it going.
Yeah.
And who knows? This could be a sport that we could actually win because we're running out of those.
Yeah, because we're not like, you know, centuries behind the Oaks that have been curling elsewhere in the world. We'll just jump right
so
in.
So here are the five things you need to know with Mabale Moloi on a Wednesday morning. What do you have for us, Mubs?
Well, Finance Minister Malusi Gigaba will be delivering the budget today, so watch.
Oh, is that today?
Or don't. Or, you know, do whatever the fuck you want.
Is that today?
Yeah. The Deputy Finance Minister, Sifiso Buthelezi, yesterday was saying that only the President will be able to say if Finance Minister Malusi Gigaba will keep his job. But as far as everybody is concerned or aware, that guy will be Malusi Gigaba and it's happening today.
Did I upset you by saying Ben is the most cynical and now you're trying to compete with him?
No.
Well, when you said if, you know, watch it or don't, or whatever you want.
No, because a lot of people find watching that speech incredibly boring.
Painful, yeah.
And then other people have to watch it because it's their job. People like Anthea will be paying attention to that speech, and then they can break it down for us who won't be paying attention to that speech. So either watch it or don't.
All right.
And then over in Cape Town land, they have moved up day zero again. This is what, like the fourth or fifth time that they're moving it up. First it was April the 12th, then it was April the 16th, then it went to May, and then it went to June.
Great.
We're now on the 9th of July. It was announced by DA leader Musi Maimane yesterday. So day zero pushed back even further. A lot of people were making the joke saying, oh, well, listen, we know we were making fun of that horrible water mascot, but seemingly that mascot has scared everyone.
Scared everyone straight.
into starting to be more responsible with their water usage, and that's why day zero has now been pushed.
Poor Catherine Constantinides, who's been on this show a couple of times, and you know she's been here at Cliff Central a lot. I feel so sorry for her because every time that they show that mascot, she's in the picture with it.
Yeah, and I mean, it's the sperm mascot.
God, it's horrible.
Yeah,
it's
I called him Jack You Later. That was the name. Anyway.
Yeah. There were a lot of fun pictures of him standing in a shower with a blade in hand, getting ready to stab someone.
Your 2 minutes are up.
Yeah, but that's the thing. Like they have these pictures of him, and it looks like the new Stephen King movie. It's like the new, like It too. The brother has come back.
It is frightening.
It's just the eyebrows. If you take the eyebrows off, aside from the fact that he's the color of semen and he's wearing orange and green, nothing says
with a camel toe.
Nothing says save water like orange and green with a hashtag on your balls.
Yeah.
But aside from the color scheme being questionable, it's the fact that it's his eyebrows. If you move them, he looks like a big smiley drop of sperm.
Wow, terrifying.
All right.
But he's working. He's doing his work.
Terrifying people into saving water.
That's what people are now saying.
Right.
President Cyril Ramaphosa says that he will announce changes to his cabinet at an appropriate time. So all of you who want to keep telling the man what to do can take a seat.
Well, take a walk with him if you want to tell
him
what to do.
Oh, take a walk with him. Hey, did you see videos from that walk yesterday? There were so many people who were involved.
Really? Oversubscribed, huh?
Oversubscribe.
If I was president, I would announce that I'm changing my cabinet and make a huge deal of it and then invite people, and then I would literally change a cabinet.
He says
it
that
would be like Boris Sokofro. You actually tell them why they're not going to go the next round.
No, Gord's saying he'd change a cupboard, kitchen cabinet.
I'd get a new cabinet, and there'd be a press release, and every media would be standing around there waiting for their turn to ask questions, and then these dudes would come, carry a cabinet in, and I'd be like, what do you think, guys?
This is why you're not president, Gord.
I think you would.
That'd be amazing.
I think you would win yourself a lot of supporters with that strategy. I don't know. I'm just saying. A lot of young people would be like, yeah, that's our man.
Do a cabinet reshuffle later. Move the shit around in the cabinet.
So Ramaphosa says that this will only happen once there has been broad consultation, because he says that it is a difficult process. He's also called for lifestyle audits for top government officials.
Ooh, lifestyle audits.
That's going to be exciting. Mm. That's really a big deal. You know how much fun that's going to be? They're going to find out what these ministers have.
How many Guptas you got in your phone?
Yeah. But that's a big move.
No, hang on. But every president has done a lifestyle audit, haven't they?
No. No. You think Ms. Benzizwani has ever been lifestyle audited? Hell no.
No, but isn't there like...
They have to declare gifts.
Oh, is it just gifts?
But remember, they have to declare it. No one's investigating them. So if Gord is president, and let's say he's minister of, I don't know, water and sanitation, and he gets a gold ingot from some massive fan, he decides, am I going to declare this or not? And he should declare it, but let's say he doesn't. No one goes to his house to look for gold ingots. What they're talking about here is a lifestyle audit. That's where they go through your assets and liabilities. They look at your monthly expenses, and they see what kind of a life you lead.
But it's open to interpretation. They could like lifestyle audit you and come back and be like, okay, dude, your taste in music shocking.
No,
like,
man. You don't it's purely about brands and sense.
You don't jog enough. There's not enough fiber in your diet.
No, God, that's not a... That's a different kind
Stop,
of lifestyle.
Leon Schuster's not funny, Bruce. Someone hasn't told you yet.
Make better life choices.
Yeah, your lifestyle sucks, bro. Get with it.
That's very big. I think this is a major move. ANC checking out its ministers and doing lifestyle audits. We'll find out who has been living beyond their means. And if they are living beyond their means, we'll find out who's financing them. Because they get their money from the state salary that they earn. That's all. So if they're living a life, like you see Manana, who arrived in court when he was accused of beating that woman up outside Cubana. Remember? And he arrives in these very fancy, very expensive suits. And you think, okay, well, you know, he could probably afford those suits because he's on this minister's salary or deputy minister's salary. But then if he arrives in a Ferrari, people go, ministers can't afford Ferraris.
But on a slightly more serious question note, are you allowed other business interests? Because, no. I mean, so you suddenly get made, you suddenly, because you haven't always been a government minister. So you suddenly get made a government minister, and what, you have to like relinquish your share in an Italian restaurant chain?
You have to declare all of it. So first and foremost, if you are, let's say you run your own Italian restaurant chain before you become a minister.
Yeah.
When you become a minister, you have to put that on the table. So you have to say, all right, this is what I've got. And this is what I don't have.
Mm.
So that they can keep tabs on you.
But then you can continue with the shit you've got.
No. You have to remove yourself as a director and a decision maker in those businesses. In other words, you pass on your stuff like Trump had to when he became president. You got to move on to the family or to your deputies.
Okay. So you can still own it, you're not allowed to operate it.
Correct.
Like Paul Giamatti in Billions.
Correct. Yeah. Right.
So when Cyril was trying to sell McDonald's, someone else was trying to sell it.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like he was very hands-on there.
I mean, if you're just moving it to your family, then what's the point? Technically, you've still got access to it.
So it becomes yours again when you stop doing your government job.
So
this is so complicated, because what's the definition of corruption? You know, if you give a tender to your third cousin once removed, or like the guy Coco at Eskom, your stepdaughter, for a couple of billion is that corruption. It's not you who's benefiting. It's her, and she might have a legitimate business. No, it's corruption. Because the only reason she got that contract is because her stepdaddy was in charge of Eskom, and he made the decisions about where the money went. That's corruption.
So then what's the difference between corruption and nepotism?
Nepotism is corruption within a family.
So, I mean, to me, they sound exactly the same. Yeah, like, there's not much of a difference.
I wish I remembered more of the specific details, but there was a story a year or two ago about some guy who had been, he was a wealthy guy in Cape Town, very, very wealthy, and his business had gone bad and he'd lost loads of money. And I think he was being investigated for tax, etc., and was about to go bust. And he gave his daughter, who's like a very low tier, sort of D-level aspiring model, basically like trust fund Capetonian pretty girl who tells people, what do you do? I'm a model. And she's like, actually, I pay someone to take my Instagram photos. But gave her like $1 million. And then when they got investigated and they wanted to know where the money came from, they couldn't explain it. And the story they came up with was that she had gone for a week as a guest of an Arab sheikh and then come back having been given this cash gift. And they were like, okay, we need to know who the sheikh is. We need to know where the money came from. And he was like, no, look, the way they operate there is in absolute secrecy. There's NDAs on that side. It's completely, you know, what happens in the harem stays in the harem.
To cut your story short, because it's not the four things we need to know plus the one very long thing.
Okay.
They found out eventually.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
Okay, because I was just thinking, imagine she did burn the sheikh and then had the money taken away on suspicion of fraud. That would suck so much.
Yeah, because what did I do all that boning
exactly,
for?
This like this manky old sheikh.
I hate boning someone and not getting anything in return.
Especially if you did it only for that reason.
Yeah. All right, so back to Mubs and the two and a half things left that we need
to know. No, it's just the one thing that's left, and it's the sale of naming rights for Cape Town Stadium, which is apparently a process that began 2 months ago. Anyway, that's going to be finalized at the end of March.
Any idea what it's going to be called?
Not on my list currently, Gord.
No, no idea what it's going to be called. Nice
quick stadium.
It's not going to be called Steinhoff Cape Town Stadium. I can tell you that much. It's not going to be called Oak Bay Cape Town Stadium.
No, not at all. Hey, we mentioned yesterday what is the difference between medical aid and medical insurance, and many people don't know the difference, including me. How do you know which option is best for you? One plan, we remember we spoke to them about pet insurance, have turned health cover on its head. We've been chatting to One Plan about pet insurance, and what about your health? What about your family? We're going to speak to Michael Otten, who's the CEO of One Plan, and he'll be popping in to enlighten us on these important issues. How can you decide which is the best option for you? And in the meantime, you can learn more about how the unique One Card works. Just SMS HEALTH to 31644, and they will call you back to chat about healthcare for you. SMS HEALTH to 31644. All right, do that today and you can find out all about it. And if you're uninsured, you're taking a big risk. What if you suddenly become sick? I mean, we spoke about it with pets. You don't want to do this if it's you. Over to Ben in the sport. Let's see what he's got for us this morning.
Well, got to start with the bad news. There's been another doping scandal at the Winter Olympics.
Is it a Russian?
No, it's not a Russian this time. It's a Slovenian.
Potato.
Potato, sweet potato, carbohydrate. Bezsiga Zeklic has been given 24 hours to vacate the property, give back the condoms, pack your bags, and get your ass out of there. Slovenian ice hockey player Bezsiga Zeklic, you are a disgrace.
Shame.
Well, it's a bit harsh, but shame. I haven't really met them before. So there was a banned substance that helped them with breathing. So gone, on your ass, out of there.
Wow.
Shame. Yeah. Shame.
Yeah. So,
shame.
You don't want to hear this kind of stuff. You know, obviously the Russians have been doing dodgy things and they weren't allowed to participate. But now the Slovenian ice hockey player. But ice hockey's a crap sport anyway. Let's get back to the good stuff, right?
He says dismissively, like that's not a topic for debate. Just ice hockey's crap, so never mind.
Come on, let's get away. Americans play, it's useless. So today, there'll be lots of interesting things to go. And you've got it, a whole day of curling ahead. Every time I look at the schedule, there is curling, curling, and curling. But also cross-country skiing, there's some bobsled to look forward to. Figure skating is always really good. And the freestyle skiing, the Nordic combined snowboarding, and more speed skating. That's all you can look out for today at the Winter Olympics. But who's doing well, you might think? You might ask.
Who is doing well?
Well, I'll tell you who's not doing well, America. They are set for their worst finish in the Winter Olympics in the last 2 decades. They can't seem to get it together. They've only got 5 golds, 3 silvers, and 4 bronze currently. Top of the pile, anyone want to guess?
China.
The Dutch.
No and no. And Mubs abstains.
Norway.
Norway. Norway is the top of the medals pile right now. 11 gold, 10 silver, 8 bronze. Second, we've got Germany. 11 gold, 7 silvers, and 5 bronzes. And Germany are basically saying, well, we're having a great time because we're drinking loads and loads and loads of beer. So 3,500 liters of non-alcoholic beer has been sent to the athletes' village, and the Germans are lapping it up because...
Non-alcoholic.
Pointless thing, non-alcoholic beer.
No, it's a great anti-inflammatory.
Oh.
So people are going through... I mean, look, when you wipe at the Winter Olympics, it's not like when you trip on the 1,500 meters in the whatever in the track. Your body's getting charred and beaten up, but the Germans are just downing all this beer, and they say it's great. It's doing wonders for the inflammation. And upper respiratory infections is too. No such problems when you're downing all this beer.
Wow.
So good for the Germans. See,
well, that's interesting. You see,
sticking to what they know.
And also, don't let it be known that this is just about winning golds. The Olympics have taught us many things that are medically useful.
Yes.
Yes. That's why when you go on skiing holidays, you must drink lots of beer.
There we are.
Isotonic properties in this current beer that they're drinking, the non-alcoholic stuff. Well, there it is.
Or even other kinds of holidays.
Also true, Gord. Yeah. So it's really good for the body. And they say even the alcoholic beer is good for the body as well when skiing. It's just that because they're athletes, they can't be getting hammered.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, so we covered that. That's pretty much the Winter Olympics update for today. And yes, it is going towards the ending. Oh, it's Wednesday. This weekend will be all done. Oh, it's Peter de Villiers. We all know him, right? He was the Bok coach with the big moustache and the interesting things that came out of his mouth. But he also had probably the best record against the All Blacks. He won 5 out of 11 times.
Hmm.
You show me a current Bok coach the last few decades has got a record like that. Well, no one. He is now the coach of Zimbabwe. And yesterday he came out with some rather, wow, fiery allegations that Saru had basically been cock-blocking him ever since they gave him the arse as the Bok job. So he was apparently going to get the job of Borland's rugby coach.
Yeah.
But then Saru said, no, you can't have this guy. Here's 2 million rand to not hire him.
Wow.
And then wherever he went, he basically was blacklisted because Saru would then phone people up and say, don't hire this guy. This is what he's alleging. Jeez. Now with the Zimbabwe job as well, apparently they phoned Zimbabwe and said, you can't hire this guy. Just don't do it. And they were like, get stuffed. So much so, then the Americans apparently, okay, look, this is all allegedly. Because obviously there's two sides to a story, but I like Peter de Villiers, so let's take this as truth. The Americans then said, oh, we had no idea he was available. So he could have been the American coach before he was a Zimbabwean coach. But Peter de Villiers, being a man of his word, he said, screw it. I'm happy to be the Zimbabwean coach because these guys actually want me to be their coach, unlike in SA, where they never wanted me and they always set me up for failure.
Now, why are they blackballing P. Divi?
Well, Saru are a bunch of dicks. That we know. There's the first fact of the story. Right. Secondly, they just don't seem to ever have any transparency, these guys, and there's always a runaround or a story or a he said kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Saru, of course, have just, this is where Saru really shows their guilt. They have denied the allegations and they wish him well.
Oh, lies.
Not patronizing that, but we wish you well in your new job.
Not lies.
They're just laughing this off.
So according to Mabs's court ruling system, we just immediately ball rock this act. Like the people at Saru, we ball rock them.
Crash
and
the
we
balls.
We give Peter de Villiers the benefit of the doubt and ball rock some Saru people.
Yeah,
with his head.
I think a couple of ball rocks in Saru and I might shake things up. Look, next week we'll get into how Rassie Erasmus is suddenly all powerful. And look, I don't mean to be that guy, but I think Peter de was the wrong type. I'm not necessarily meaning this in a race sense, but he was just the wrong type for Saru. He said too much. He was a little bit too colorful, a little bit too charismatic. We need someone who ideally would be a little bit Afrikaans and essentially like Jesus. And
I think he was a little bit Afrikaans, but I take the rest of your point perfectly. I agree completely.
But isn't that interesting?
But when I say a little, I mean a lot.
Isn't that interesting? Okay. So Ben is saying basically he didn't fit in enough, and now Saru are punishing him even after the fact that he's...
Yeah, well, guys, work it out, because if he had to maybe get a provincial job and do well again, people will say, well, why can't he be the Bok coach again, seeing as we now learn what we learned? The guy couldn't get a job anywhere. Isn't that a bit strange? Like, yeah. I said, he coached the Boks to a Lions Test Series victory. He coached the Boks with 5 out of 11 wins against the All Blacks. Everyone's going to say, yeah, I'll be the best team, and he was just basically going through the motions. Follow what you will. Every other coach has been an absolute dog show since then. How did this guy, the only job he got after this was UWC's director of rugby. UWC is not a toilet, it's a university in the Cape Province. Right. How is that possible? How can a guy go from there to nothing?
But was it an ugly divorce when he left the Bok job? It didn't just run out of contract and they were like, yeah, you talk a bit funny, so we're going to get someone else. Was it like a big spat?
It was convenient that they just lost in the quarterfinals of the Rugby World Cup when Bryce Lawrence beat them. Anyway, we wish you well, Peter de Villiers, and hopefully Zimbabwe can go to the World Cup. I mean, obviously not, but I mean, that's your goal. So we support you in your goal.
Cool.
Champions League happened last night, and Besiktas, they got the Besiktas kicked out of them. 5-0 from Bayern Munich. The Besiktas were down to just 10 Besiktas on the field against 10 Bayern Munich people. 5-0. You don't come back from that. And Chelsea, too.
Makes you Besiktas to your stomach.
Exactly. <it does. laughs> Chelsea, to their credit, they've been a bit woeful of late, but they managed to hold Barcelona to a 1-1 draw. Good for them. Sevilla, they host Man United right now. These two teams have been very good in the Europa League the last 2 years. Last 4 years. Manchester United, obviously the defending champions of the Europa League, but they're not in it because they're a better team now. And Sevilla, well, they won 2 years prior to that, I think it was. And then Shakhtar Donetsk will take on Roma. Both this match is tonight at 9:45. Other football news, Sergio Aguero, who was accosted by that peasant in Wigan, he then lashed out at this dude, and he will be looking to press charges against this little common hoodlum. Aguero said that this chav basically ran up to him, spat in his ear, and hurled an obscenity at him.
Oh my God.
Now, as I said yesterday, I know I sounded very disparaging, but when you go to these lesser teams, they don't have any kind of etiquette, so they'll storm onto the field, and then they go on there and they shout at their mothers. I mean, you can see these guys acting out. They are such a bunch of common filth. So these guys, obviously the Man City guys, hugely high-profile footballers, all these guys want to do is be able to say, oh, well, I spat in Aguero's face. And he did. And then Aguero smacked him, and then, well, as Piers Morgan said, it's actually a disgrace that Aguero hit him. He should have hit him much harder.
Yeah. I mean, especially if the dude comes onto the field, I mean, you have the right as a human being to defend yourself, whether you're working or not.
Seeing as these part-time security officers who are probably eating pies couldn't hold the people back.
Is there anybody who says that they're on this guy's side instead of Aguero?
Probably his mother.
Okay.
All 11 of Man City's fans are on Aguero's side, and so is the rest of the world, it seems.
Yeah, oh, well, I don't know. I don't follow peasant media. I mean, these people behave.
Peasant media.
No, Gordon, it pisses me off because we always give footballers a hard time about being babies and that kind of stuff. And now this guy's defending himself, and people are going, there's all these salacious headlines like Aguero punches fan.
No, I completely agree. I mean, I literally loathe and despise City above all other teams. But I think if somebody comes on the field and messes with you while you're working, drib him in the tits.
Yeah, if someone came over to me right now and smacked the microphone in my face, I'd smack him in his face.
Drib him in the tits.
Yeah, both of them.
Right. Knock the Ed Hardy vest right off his back, but.
All right.
I think that's pretty much it. Oh, so cricket. You know, we have injured players in the Proteas?
Mm. Yeah, all of them.
Well,
Mabale tried to throw in, she said yesterday, oh, just find new ones. And you were like, well, there aren't any new ones.
In fact, those guys should all have their balls crushed being a complete waste of time on the pitch.
I think when you become a Protea on like your induction ceremony, I think they ball rock you on that day.
Listen.
Ball rocking for them too.
See, now you guys are becoming like a mob.
Yeah.
Mubs is, I wish I'd never suggested this ball rocking because now it's become her thing.
Yep.
I've got to rock your balls, and not in a good way.
Well, to get onto that story and to leave balls alone, Temba Bavuma seems to be okay.
Oh.
Faf du Plessis should be completely fine. As of tomorrow, he'll start batting, and his finger should be fine for the first test. Ebi de Villa's precautionary tale of a sore knee, he'll be okay. Quinton de Kock, he's back in the T20 team already.
Hmm.
So, take that, Australia.
No, oh, that was sudden. Did they put them all in oxygen tanks?
No, this should be all right. Dale Steyn, though, he's got a damaged heel, and he'll be back probably the third test. Okay. Aussies, though, they couldn't give a toss. They know how crap we are right now. They're coming here to literally drink beer, bed our woman, and take the spoils in the field, too.
Oh. Yeah.
Revolting.
They're going to wear Viking helmets and just come pillage us.
Plunder.
Right.
Plundering tour of South Africa.
Well, Ben has single-handedly made curling cool. He has been talking about curling and trying to get us into it for the longest time, and now suddenly it's a big deal. Even South Africans are interested. So David Attenborough has been involved in describing a kind of bout of Olympic curling, and he describes it in his inimitable style this way. This is it.
Here we have a pack of sliding curlers. Watches the alpha female, displays her dominance over the herd by tapping the end of the frisking broom to check for rogue insects. This is a precise exercise. And off she goes, gently but flamboyantly launching the oversized walnut down the frozen river. The alpha female's job is now complete. It's down to the herd to frantically follow the walnut down the river, gently frisking the foreground. Past the red line, the walnut goes. This is nature at its most vulnerable. You'll notice a group of other walnuts already nearer the flat, round nest. These are from other sliding curlers who had thrust their nuts down earlier. This is to mark their territory. The aim of this ritual is to land your walnut in the center of the nest. The frisking is frantic and often futile, making no difference to the success of the net thrust. But it's playful. All part of what makes this game the sliding curlers play so magical. Look how happy it makes them.
And none of them look happy. They're all miserable about it. But there we go. That's David
Thrust
Attenborough.
Thrust their nut.
Absolutely. Trying to help us understand curling.
I like a light frisking of my nut.
I'm sure you would.
Seriously, I believe there should be a curling court in every shopping mall in this country. Get kids off the streets. curl them in there.
Build a giant ice rink and bring the kids in off the streets.
All right. Okay. And just as long as it's not ball rocking.
Yeah, that's better than turning a life into a life of crime and ending up getting ball rocked.
I don't know if you look at the weight of a curling stone, but that could definitely be the rock for the balls.
Ah, you see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There we go.
If we start mass producing them.
It's an alternative use for that curling stone.
They'll be less expensive if we mass produce them for ball rocking as well.
My one thing about Olympics in general, I'm a little bit cynical when it comes to Olympics in general. Obviously, this has been
great,
an ongoing topic.
Another cynical person on the show.
I'm just saying, with most Olympic sports, people don't give a shit the other 3 years and 50 months of those sports. Is there like a competitive curling league where if during the non-Olympic years,
of course there must be.
Os curl. Is there money in it? Do you think these are all people with regular day jobs when they're not doing the Olympics? Or can you be a professional?
I don't think you can do curling full time.
Yeah.
I can't imagine you would. Do you think so, Ben?
Of course you can.
Oh.
It's a sport like that.
So it'd be very cool if there were like a Premier League of curling and they had different coloured uniforms and you saw Oz at shopping centres like wearing their FC Dansk curling or CC Dansk. Curling Nike outfit.
Well, you get a world you get a world curling tour. The curling hooligans are out of hand at the moment. I mean, it's becoming tribal.
The Russian curling fans are now banned from traveling to other Champions League curling matches.
No, seriously, guys, there is a curling.
An enormous bus and it rolls through town, and you're like, the curlers, they're on their way to the stadium.
It's a peaceful time for 51 weeks of the year until the curlers get here.
All right, curling hooligans, it's almost 7 o'clock. Oh, my God.
Guys, there is across Canada, it's rife. Some have a purse as much as $100,000. The Sun Life Financial Players Championship on Prince Edward Island has a purse of $100,000.
Wow.
To be split amongst all the teams, I mean, that's, hardly going to keep your league operating the rest of the year.
That's the total purse, is it?
Other purses go down as little as $11,250.
You get paid
the Interlake Pharmacy Classic isn't known for its big purse.
You get paid that for cancelling playing in a golf tournament. Sorry, I'm tired. I can't make it. Cool. He has $100,000. Sorry.
That's incredible. All right. We've got some news to get to. We've got lots to talk about. I want to play you that Mosiwa Lekota speech from yesterday. I think it was yesterday in Parliament. He was talking about some of the issues that have been raised by the ANC and the EFF. And it's starting to become clear to me that the only two people we really should spend a lot of time listening to in Parliament are Bantu Holomisa and Mosiwa Lekota, and that we could pretty much switch off for all the others. And as Mub said, if you want to watch the budget speech, I suppose that's going to happen today. All I can tell you is, according to the people I've been speaking to and Anthea and what she said on Monday and, you know, everybody who's in the know, more taxes.
Great, because that takes so much thought and so much innovation.
That's what they're going to do. Decades. More taxes. It's going to be very exciting. All right, let's settle in for a Wednesday morning. Get our day off to a good start. Gordon and Ben and Mabale and you. If you're wondering where CA is, he's on holiday this week.
This is CliffCentral.com.